Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels storm.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring his coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and he is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Good morning, Central Indiana. I would like for you to hear a wonderful message preached back in July at Crown of Life Baptist Church by Dr. Greg Dixon, Pastor Emeritus, entitled Two Justifications. Dr. Dixon has been my mentor for many years since I entered the ministry almost 30 years ago. He is an amazing Bible instructor, and I wish every preacher boy would have had an opportunity to sit under his tutelage, just as Paul sat at the feet of Gamaliel. Let's go ahead and listen to part one now.
We're not going to do this every time, but we are going to read the entire chapter before we get started today so you can understand the entire context. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Our Father, we do pray that you'll help us today. We ask for the filling of thy Spirit. We cannot teach these dear people anything except you would help us. We pray that you would open our hearts and minds. These things now we ask in the name of our precious Lord and Savior. For Christ's sake we pray. Amen. James chapter 2. Let's just read the whole chapter, because if we don't do it, you won't get the context. And we'll try to read as fast as we can, so it won't take a lot of time. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory with respect of persons. Now, the title of this message today is Two Justifications. Now, here's where we miss the whole thing. And I want you to understand this. There are two justifications. Now, most people approaching James chapter 2 do not understand this prospect. They see this as only that there's only one justification, and that is just justification by faith. In other words, just salvation. They just see one salvation, salvation by faith. They take the position that the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is heaven. We're saved for heaven, we're justified by faith, going to heaven. They don't see. Most Baptists would take the position that the kingdom of heaven is the thousand-year millennial of Christ. The kingdom of God is heaven. That would be the Baptist position. That was my position at one time. But I want you to see that there are two justifications very clearly taught in the scriptures. And that's what I'm going to try to show you today in this lesson on James chapter 2. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. So there are two faiths here that we're dealing with. All right. There is a faith that produces salvation for eternity. That's justification by faith alone. And then there is a faith that accompanies work. There's a faith that accompanies works. That is entrance into the kingdom. See? Now, most preachers that believe in the millennial, thousand-year reign of Christ teaches that all believers have an automatic entrance into the kingdom. See? They teach that all believers are joint heirs with Christ. See the point? Now let's go back to Romans just for a moment. I'm going to show you this. I've sort of opened this can of worms. Now let's go back to Romans chapter 8 for just a moment. Let me show you something here real quick. Romans 8. Look at verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. All right? Now, and if children, comma, then heirs, semicolon. Heirs of God, comma, and joint heirs with Christ, semicolon, if so be that we suffer with him, comma. See, there's a what? Tell me.
Condition.
There's a condition. It's conditional. See, you see that? There's an if there. If and joint heirs. See, all children, all believers are children. But not all believers are joint heirs with Christ. But all the preachers are teaching that all believers are joint heirs with Christ automatically. But that's not what that says. It says that it's on condition. Now, all believers are heirs unconditionally. Heirs of God unconditionally. But they're not joint heirs with Christ unconditionally. Only if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Now, when are we going to be glorified together? When he comes in his kingdom, right?
Right.
All right. So, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile apparel, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there or sit here under my footstool. By the way, that's where the gays came up with that word gay. It came up right out of the Bible. That's where they came up with that. See? Are ye not then partial in yourselves and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, so ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. Now we've already seen two laws here. In verse 8 we've seen the royal law, and in verse 12 we've seen the law of liberty. For ye shall have judgment without mercy, that has showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. What doth it profit thy brethren, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But, oh boy, the preachers love that one. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Now this is very important right here. This is very, very important. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. All right, let's get started now on this. Now, first thing I want you to see is who he's speaking to here. In James chapter 1 and verse 1 it says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting, my brethren. My brethren. Well, in Galatians chapter 3, who are the true Jews? Well, it doesn't mean that Abraham doesn't have a physical seed. It says he'll have two seeds. As the sand of the seashore, and that he looked up and said, as the stars of the sky, which means he'll have a physical seed and a spiritual seed. So all of those that are saved, they'll be the spiritual seed of Abraham. And Romans chapter 11 says that the Gentiles are grafted in, you see. So just because he wrote to the 12 tribes doesn't mean that this is not to us who are grafted in, see. And we're not teaching that the church is Israel like many are teaching today. It's not what I'm suggesting. I'm suggesting that this is not only to the saved Jews, because in the church there's neither Jew nor Gentile during this age of grace. But at that time, those Jews that had received Christ, they, because of the persecution, they had scattered. And James had written this specifically for them. The book of Hebrews was written specifically for them because they needed encouragement. They're also going to need encouragement during the tribulation period. I know a preacher in New York. He believes that the book of Hebrews is not for us at all. Even for this dispensation, he believes it was written specifically for Jews only during the tribulation period. Well, that's ridiculous. That's how far out these people are. They're hyper-dispensationalists, you see. Now look at verse 2 of James chapter 2. Look who this is written to. Verse 1, he says, my brethren. My brethren. Verse 5, thank you. Hearken, my beloved brethren. My beloved brethren. Look at verse 7. Look at verse 7. Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? See? So who's James speaking to here? Now I want you to notice the subject. In chapter 1 and verse 12, look at chapter 1 and verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. See, not to all of those that are saved, but to those that love him. See, there's a distinction. Not all believers love him. See, there's a distinction. Look at verse 5 again. Look at verse 5 of James chapter 2. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith? Now, see, they say that the Sermon on the Mount is not for us today. They say the Sermon on the Mount is not for this dispensation. Well, what did Jesus say when he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God, for they shall inherit the earth. What's he talking about? James says the same thing right here. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? Is not this the same thing that Jesus is talking about? Is this not the same thing?
Yes.
Heirs of the kingdom. That's the subject of this second chapter. This is the subject of the book of James. He's talking about how to be an heir of the kingdom. He's not talking about justification by faith. He's not talking about how to get into heaven. He's talking about how to be an heir of the kingdom. Now, how did we miss this? Because we don't understand that there's two justifications. Now, what's James saying? James is saying that if you want to be an heir of the kingdom, you cannot show favoritism to the people of God. He says you can't brown nose the rich. That's sort of a crass way of saying it. In other words, you can't play up to the rich over the poor. You can't show deference to the rich over the poor. That's what he's saying. But these people... And by the way, he's writing this to the Jews. Who has a problem with this? Who has had an inherent problem with this? The Jews. I'm not an anti-Semite, but who has had a problem with this down through the centuries? The Jews have had a problem with this, an inherent problem with this. They've always had a problem with this. And James, a Jew, is writing to his own people. He said, haven't the rich delivered you up to the judgment? Who put them in the gas chambers? Who has always delivered them up to persecution? That's what James is telling them. Who's always persecuted the Christians? Who's always persecuted the believers? The poor or the rich? Verse 7, do they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? Do not they blaspheme? Look at Hollywood. Look at Hollywood. You say, well, I know some Christian actors. Yeah, there's a few. But they drum them out. They won't even let them have decent jobs, will they? Now, it doesn't mean that the rich can't be saved. See, we even miss that. The rich young ruler came to Jesus, and he came and worshiped. See? And I always taught that, well, he was lost. Well, he came and worshiped. How could he be lost if he came and worshiped? He said, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus said, keep the commandments. Well, wait a minute. Doesn't Jesus know how to be saved? What did he say in John chapter 3? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. John chapter 3. He's the one that gave from John 15 through 19, he's the one that gave that plan of salvation about believing to be saved in all those verses. In John chapter 3. You mean he doesn't know how to be saved? And he tells the rich young ruler, keep the commandments? And the rich young ruler said, well, I've kept them from my youth up. And Jesus said, sell all that thou hast and give to the poor and take up thy cross and follow me. And he went away sorrowful because he was very rich. And Jesus says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And in the book of Mark, he says to enter into the kingdom of God, which means that the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God is synonymous. But I always taught that they were separate, because Scofield did. And you know what the disciples said? How can any be saved? And Jesus said, with God, nothing is impossible.
You have been listening to Dr. Greg Dixon, Pastor Emeritus of the Indianapolis Baptist Temple. Please come back and listen to part two next week at 7:30 here on Freedom 95.
Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.